الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون صدق الله العظيم.
My most respected brothers and elders, Alhamdulillah, we will be witnessing a nikah today. Therefore, I felt it was appropriate to shed some light on this topic of nikah. The whole concept of nikah and marriage in Islam is a union. It is a bond between the two partners, the husband and the wife. But this union is just not an ordinary union that is there just for the gratification of one's desires, one's sexual desires. But in Islam, it is a contract. It is an aqd. And this contract has with it duties, responsibilities, which both husband and wife, they have to carry out, because this nikah is a lifelong obligation. It's not a trial and error thing. It is a great and a sacred sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The whole institution of nikah is a very honorable, hygienic, normal, natural, and the best way of a union between husband and wife. Respected brothers and elders, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam therefore exhorted a group of youngsters to get married, in which he said, if you possess the means to get married, then you should do so. Because when a person gets married, then this will enable him to live a chaste and pure life. As human beings, we all have desires. Without a marriage, without this halal union, a person will be gratifying himself in an illicit and a haram way. And we see this common amongst our youth who have the means. The parents have the means to get them married, but still there's a delay. Sometimes it's the pretext of finding a suitable job or completing the degree. But we do not know the harm that arises when a person delays unnecessarily the nikah of his daughter or his son. It helps the person to lower his gaze. It protects the chastity of a person. And therefore, Rasulullah said, if a person does not have the means to get married, then he should rather keep fast. He should keep roza. Because this will help him to curb those tendencies within him. These mutual obligations that we have, respected brothers and elders, this is something that all of us need to revise. And especially the couple that are getting married. You will find in the nikah, the khutbah that is recited, three verses, which all of us hear repeatedly in every nikah. Three verses of the Holy Quran. And all are pertaining to taqwa, 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 ittaqullah, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in order to fulfill each other's rights and these duties that are binding upon us once we get married, one has to ponder and reflect over these verses of taqwa, without which the marriage will not be a marriage of bliss and happiness. Some person had taken a survey of some woman. And they asked this one wife about her relationship with her husband. She says, when he leaves the home in the morning, when he goes to work, I look up to the sky and I make a supplication for him, oh my Allah. I cannot get a better husband than him. He is so kind, he is so loving, he is so caring. And my children can never get a better father than him. Oh Allah, you protect him. Oh Allah, you take care of him. He's such a loving husband. And this is the sentiment she expresses regarding her beloved husband. Another woman very similar. She says, I actually look at the clock ticking, waiting for the evening when my beloved husband will return. The entire day I'd been missing him. And she's waiting for the return of her husband. Somebody else says that she loves her husband so dearly that she has this fear within her that nothing must happen to him. He left this morning with his car. I must not get the news that he has passed away and now I see the hearse coming back home, because she was very fond of her husband. Another woman says that when my husband leaves the home, and I wish him and I greet him, and I watch him leaving the home, and sitting in his vehicle and moving right down the road until I cannot see him anymore. And she too expressed a positive sentiment about her husband. But then there is one woman who says that when my husband leaves the home, then I look up to the sky, and I said, how I wish I was never married to this person. He's not a human being, but he behaves like a beast. In an article that I read in one of the Saudi papers, the caption is, spouses wish that they could reset the button of nikah and marriage. Why? They felt they had not chosen the correct partner. They feel they had made a mistake. And each one blaming the spouse. Each one blaming the partner. She's too lazy. She's not cooking. She's not doing this. She's not doing that. And the woman who also complained, she said, my husband is doing this. He's doing that. He's doing this. As much as we have so many nikahs, respected brothers and elders, the rate of divorce also is increasing. A boy and girl get married, barely few weeks, sometimes few days, believe me or not, the next thing we hear, they've separated, divorced. There's always wrangling, bickering, quarreling, fights, arguments. There's no peace. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the verse, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, if anybody wishes to see one of the great signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence, His supremacy,
His power, His Qudrat. Like how a person looks at the sky and the earth, and when he reflects, he realizes there is a powerful, mighty being. In the verses of Surah Rum, there are six verses which discusses wa min ayatihi, and from the signs of the greatness of Allah. If you wish to see Allah, then ponder over these verses. And one of the second verse is what I recited before you. Wa min ayatihi an khalaqa lakum min anfusikum azwaja. Allah has created from you partners, pairs. The husband gets married to the wife, or the man gets married to the woman. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. Allah says, so that, what is the objective? So that you may get that sukoon, tranquility from her. You may dwell in her with tranquility, serenity, peace of mind, coolness of the heart. The word sukoon from second means an abode. Where a person enjoys peace. He enjoys that happiness, that tranquility. He is comforted by his spouse. In the seerah we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beautiful incident of Hira, when the verses of Iqra were revealed to him. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ran back home, he was breathing heavily. He was gripped with anxiety. He says that now I'm going to die. I'm going to be destroyed. He was consoled by his beloved wife, Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Allah, never. Allah will never disgrace you. Allah will never harm you. And then she consoled him. And we have heard this many times. The beautiful qualities of Rasulullah that she enumerated. إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِيمُ. You join ties and you help the needy, the poor, etc. She consoled him. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And Allah has placed mawaddah, love, between the husband and wife, وَرَحْمَةً, and mercy. Now this verse should be kept in front of all of us. And this verse should prompt us and urge us, also the three verses of taqwa which are recited in the nikah khutbah, it should prompt us, urge us, it should encourage us to fulfill our duty and responsibility to our spouses. Brothers and elders, we are men sitting here in the masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned many verses. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned many ahadith regarding our attitude, behavior, conduct with our partners, with our wives. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, which simply translates as be kind and live with them. Live with your wives, deal with them with kindness. It is as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually interceding on behalf of these defenseless women. These weak creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has chosen to be our wives, in which we gain the sukoon and tranquility and peace. They are not a musibat upon us. They are no musibat and calamity upon us. Like we mentioned before, the one person took his wife's ID. He took it to work. She was very happy. My husband is taking my ID. What are you going to do? He said, look at it. You love me so much, you're going to keep on looking at me. He says, yes. I'll keep it in my first drawer. Whenever I'm afflicted with a heavy problem and calamity at work, a musibat, I just open this drawer and she's getting even more excited. He says, I look at your face and I see which musibat can be more heavier than yours. Astaghfirullah. She's not a musibat. When that person went to the doctor, he says, I can't sleep well. Please give me some tablets. Doctor examines him, all the blood results and the pressure, everything is clear. He says, all you got to do is you got to unwind and don't take your trouble to bed. He says, I've been begging my wife not to come into the same room. She still insists. She's not a musibah, but she's not a trouble. Look at the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We claim that we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are many sunnats, mashallah, that we do adopt, but the real life and the way, the sunnah, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many of us are really trying to emulate that way of life, the manner in which he loved his wife? You read the books of hadith. When the Sahaba inquired of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as to his conduct at home, what was his activity when he goes home? He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would help with the household chores. Which one of us last picked up a broomstick and helped clean the room, the house? We love our little children, but when did we change last nappy of the last kid? They are not our slaves. They are not our servants. We are shepherds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, الرجال قوامون على النساء. This is a very big academic discussion on the word قوامون. And if you go into the root of this word in Arabic, etc., we don't have time. In Jummah is also a nikah. But a man, he oversees, he's got added responsibilities. He has to oversee. Whilst he has extra duties, and his extra power is not to bully his wife, no. Not to abuse his wife. Brothers, we cannot understand how we human beings, when we behave in such brutal manner. That wife who makes sabr, there are so many women out there, so many. And believe me, no woman has emailed me to please speak on this topic. But this is a stark reality. When that woman for months and years does not even mention a statement against her husband to her parents and family. Until finally she cannot bear it and enjoy it any longer. She doesn't say anything but the marks and the scars on her face, which she tries desperately to cover, to defend her, the honor of her husband. The integrity of her husband. It's too late because everything is being revealed and exposed. The damage we're doing, the harm we're doing to our young kids. There was an incident of a youngster. And he used to observe the father and mother fighting every single day, bickering, wrangling. And how abusive, physical abuse, mental abuse, picking on her. We call it hand picking. Generally the woman does this. Always nagging. But this person always criticized his wife. He never showed any appreciation. He didn't even commend and compliment her on whatever she cooked. Just orders her, my friends are coming, you're going to cook so much. She sees to all his needs. She even sees to the needs of his parents. Even when she was sick, she used to do his work. The love, affection, muhabbat she showed to him. He would go out with his friends. He would have come back late. He spent no quality time with his wife, with his children. When he sees her, he looks at her like a lion. That's the truth, respected brothers and elders. There are so many women like that. So this one couple, the child used to see the husband, the father and mother always bickering, always fighting. Until one day the father chases the wife out of the home. The mother is thrown out. She takes her bag. And the two or three children, they remain behind with the father. And the poor child is calling out to his mother. The effect, the detrimental effect on the psychology of this child, the health of this child, was such that when he was given some assignment or something to do in school, some drawing, then he drew a picture. And that immediately caught the attention of the teacher, who summoned the father, and he shows him the picture. What is it? He shows him a picture of the mother with a rope round her neck to the ceiling, a picture of a rope round this child, a small boy and a small girl. So him and his siblings, they've got ropes tied around their necks. This is what he drew. And each one with their mother, they've got a rope hanging from the ceiling around their necks. And away in one corner of this art that he drew was a picture of a man, the father, away from them. The teacher was quite wise, he understood there's something wrong. The moment he called the father and he realized, he discovered that this is what the child wants to do. He wants to take his life away. Then of course, efforts were made and they were reconciled. My respected friends and elders, marriage is no play game. That wife is not a toy. She's a human being. Rasulullah said, "Istawsu bin nisa'i khayra." I give you wasiyat. I give you advice and accept from me the advice of being kind to your woman folk. أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ أَخْلَاقًا. The most perfect person, or the most perfect iman a person has, which person has, is that believer who has the best akhlaq to his wife. He's tolerant. He overlooks her faults. He does not criticize her. I can't understand, when the husband has a problem with his wife, why pick on her parents? Why pick on her brothers and sisters? They're absolutely innocent. Why sway them? Why insult them? Why criticize them? Why close the doors upon them? We need to sit down, reflect, cogitate, ponder. Especially our youngsters out there. There have been so many cases, brothers, this is something we have to discuss now. So many cases where youngsters, young boys especially, are having illicit relationships with other women. Or they are taking drugs. Then suddenly they get married to this poor, innocent girl. He's unaware of the habits, the evil, filthy habits of this boy. He has not made sincere tawbah. He has not given up those evil practices. His promiscuous behavior still continues after they are married. She catches him. Not once, several times. He becomes angry. Then he divorces her. You spoiled the life. You have ruined the life of an innocent woman. And that is not fair. That is not fair. Therefore, respected brothers and elders, I may be sounding very stern and very, very heavy. But we need to sort our youth out with love, kind, affection. We must have large hearts to accommodate them. Many times they are taking drugs because of our problems at home. Social problems, domestic problems. But oh young brother out there, if you are having an illicit relationship with another woman, then don't ruin the life of an innocent young girl. Make tawbah, istighfar. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cleanse and purify yourself. Of course, all of us have to cleanse and purify ourselves. Nobody is perfect. Display the true akhlaq that we as men, we have to display. We know, I agree, there are many women out there who misbehave, who make very, very difficult demands on the husband. A lot of pressure. They're very domineering in nature, in character. But Rasulullah has advised us, they are created from a crooked rib. Don't try and make it straight, you'll break it. It'll be cause talaq. Leave it in that condition and enjoy and derive the benefit in the way Allah has kept her. Why do we become angry so easily? Why do we physically abuse them? My respected brothers and elders, all of us have problems. There's no marriage that husband and wife don't have some disagreement. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, he mentions to Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, oh Aisha, you know, I know exactly when you are a little upset with me. She says, how do you know that? Kayfa ta'arif? He says, when you're a bit upset with me, and when you take an oath, you say, Warabbi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. You don't say, Warabbi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then you take the qasam on Allah, but you say, the Rabb of Ibrahim, not the Rabb of Muhammad. She says, yes, but, she says, Wallahi, he says, Ajal ya Rasulullah. It is true. But Allah's qasam, لا أهجر إلا اسمك. The only thing I've done, I've taken out your name, I haven't mentioned your name, but your love is still in my heart. My heart is full with your love. So there'll be differences, but we have to manage and control the differences. My respected brothers and elders, the time has already expired. There are so many advices I would like to share. Inshallah, some other occasion. But another terrible habit of ours, which is very irksome, is that when the couple get married, then people around them, family members and friends want to, or they inquire, they're very curious, inquisitive. Tell us about how your first night was. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, when he got married, and his friends accompanied him after the nikah to the house, he said, right, now you stop here. You come through the door and bus. Now you return. You go home. Now I go inside myself. The next day when they ask him, how did it go? He says, Allah's qasam, this is a private matter. I've heard Rasulullah saying that that person who has to reveal his bedroom secrets, inverted commas, his privacy, he reveals his first night to the people. Kalhimarain, they are like two asses, two donkeys, they are having intercourse on the roadside. Therefore, Rasulullah has mentioned, إِنَّ مِنْ أَشَّرِ النَّاسِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَنْزِلَةً. The person who is the worst in rank, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that husband, يُفْضِي إِلَىٰ زَوْجَتِهِ. He has intercourse with his wife, or is in seclusion with his wife, she is in seclusion with him, and the next day, or just after that, ثُمَّ يَنْشُرُ سِرَّهَا. He goes and he reveals all her bedroom secrets. Brothers, this is not something we should be doing. We have reached such an ebb as far as the sicknesses, spiritual sicknesses are concerned, that believe me, there is no haya left anymore. There is no modesty. It is only immorality. Only immorality. We're living in that time. Something that caught my eye just a few days ago when somebody sent me an article. I heard about this before. I read about it. But now it has become prevalent in our Muslim society, and that is called wife swapping. Wife swapping. Couple swinging. And this woman writes in the article that innocently her husband takes her to some friend's home, and there was some invitation, and she sees many other people that she recognized from the vicinity, husband and wives. And everything seemed very okay first. And thereafter, suddenly she sees some music was being played, very seductive music. And slowly she sees that some women were very casually latching on to men who were not their husbands, who were strangers. And their husbands were holding the arms of other women. She became very uneasy. And suddenly her husband tells her that I want you to speak to my friend. And I will be going with his wife, and we will meet later. She got a shock of her life. She says, it was as though tons of bricks were being hailed upon me. She was a chaste and pure woman. She was recently newly married. She says, I took my shoes and I ran. I left at home running. My husband comes behind me. He was embarrassed. So he puts me in the car. He becomes very angry. He leaves at home. He takes me home. He beats me up. He physically abuses me, she says. For 3 days he locked me up because I embarrassed him and I did not succumb to his commands and dictates and his desires that I must be with another strange man. This is wife swapping. My respected brothers and elders, what level have we reached? Where is that haya anymore? And do we expect the rahmat of Allah to come? This is food for thought for all of us. Let us behave like true Ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us live a pure and chaste life. May Allah ta'ala give all of us tawfiq and hidayat. May Allah bless this couple, the marriage. Allah give them a life of taqwa, a life of barakah, a life of happiness, a life where there will be no cause of separation. There must be a life of union in all other youngsters. And there are so many young boys and so many young girls, respected brothers and elders, who are waiting to find a suitable marriage partner. But it is the parents who are not allowing them to get married. We should not do so. We should not delay in the nikah. Find them suitable spouses and partners, and let us educate them of what a true Islamic life of a husband and wife should be. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.